Hey, good morning. How y'all doing? Gosh, what a great crowd. And what a great presence of the Lord this morning. I tell you, when we begin to worship, singing that last song, I don't know about you, but it really touched my heart. It's always good to be in the presence of the Lord with God's people. And it's good to be with God's people. By the way, we're here in the building, but we have a lot of our church scattered around the valley. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's give everybody a good morning. Everybody hasn't returned yet. They're returning at their own pace, and they should, and it's okay. But they're watching our services every Sunday, and so we miss our rock people in the valley, don't we? And if you do, let's give them a round of applause. And then over this period of time, we've developed a rock church just about from coast to coast. And you are with us this morning as well. And we're so thankful that you can be with us. You know, plane tickets are cheap right now. Hop on a plane and come on out. But we just welcome people all around the country and you this morning. We're going to start our children's church after service today, so we're excited about that, and we feel like we've found a safe way to disciple our children, because we think that's very, very important. Also, this is the week we start our week of prayer, and that's the way we'll end today, starting our week. But if you will, we've been handing this list out for about a year and a half now. At 6 a.m., we're praying together all across the valley with specific needs and focus. So I invite you to be a part of that this week. And we finish Saturday on Zoom. You know, I didn't even know what Zoom was. I mean, I thought that's what a car did when it was going fast or something. I mean, now everybody, we know what Zoom is, right? But we've had a couple of really powerful Zoom prayer meetings. I mean, we were Zooming. I mean, God was moving. And so we'll do that at 6:30 Saturday. And men, we'll be having men's breakfast. It's bring your own to your house on Zoom this Saturday. So, yeah, it's all good. We've been talking Jesus Is, and we're going to continue with that series today, Jesus Is. Jesus, we started out 3 weeks ago. This is our fourth week back. Jesus is love. Can I get an amen for that? And then we talked about Jesus is the Word, or Jesus is God. We learned that. And last week, it was kind of a strange title, but Jesus is intolerant, intolerant. And if you haven't had a chance to watch that message, I would encourage you to do that. If you haven't had a chance, do that. And today is Jesus is the answer. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. Our text today will be in John chapter 3, John 3:16 in particular. Everybody go, yay, Sunday school. Yay. It's one of the best known, if not, and you can take it down right yet, please. One of the best known, if not the best known, single verse in all of Scripture. I think most people would agree with that. Martin Luther himself called John 3:16 the miniature gospel. It has also been called the gospel in a nutshell. One verse in the Bible. Somebody else says it's a love letter from God that was written in blood and addressed to all people. Max Lucado said this about John 3:16, and I want to read his exact quote. John 3:16, a 26-word parade of hope, beginning with God, ending with life, and urging us to do the same. It's brief enough to write on a napkin or memorize in a moment, yet solid enough to weather 2,000 years of storms and questions. If you know nothing of the Bible, start here. If you know everything in the Bible, return here. We all need a reminder. And, you know, I think it's going to come up on NIV, but even as a little boy, little Presbyterian boy, I learned John 3:16 in King James. I don't think I could quote it any other way. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Stephen put it on King James for us. It's the heart of the entire gospel. His love and this one scripture verse, because it's God's word, has the power to transform your life or any life if, everybody say if, you believe. God's love stretches to the widest span. It's beyond our imagination. When it says God so loves the world, or God so loved the world, guess what this means? You don't have to be a Greek scholar, but even in the Greek, which the New Testament was written in, it means the entire world. It means every person, every individual, everybody in the entire world. It means Jews. It means Englishmen. It means Russian. It means Chinese. It means Arabs. It means Americans. It means Japanese. God so loved everybody. That's what this scripture means. I don't know about you, but that's a really strong and powerful message in this season that we find ourselves in, not only in our country, but around the world. You know, right now, everybody's looking for answers, especially to specific issues, racial issues, prejudice issues, racist issues. And y'all know that I'm very passionate. If you know my background, never struggled with that. Always, I was the minority with the black culture growing up, by choice. A lot of black friends. It was only black and white in Kentucky, but I don't have time to unpack my background. But I've always been very passionate about racial issues. And then I got saved and I realized that Jesus loves everybody. He doesn't care what color our skin is, or if we're rich, he loves the rich. Can I get an amen? He loves the poor. He loves all colors, all cultures, all races, men and women, slave and free. For God so loved the world, everybody. And everybody's looking for answers. And church, we need to be careful. God wants us to have a voice. He wants us to stand up and speak truth in love. He does. But I'll tell you, and I can't take much time here. I'll move. But you need to be careful what you say. You need to be sure about what you're saying. Because as the church of the living God, we want to be healers, don't we? And I'm so thankful because we have a multicultural, multi-generational vision. And have, really, for our entire ministry, there was a time, some of you remember, not most of you, we had five congregations here. We had a Jewish congregation, Messianic Jewish congregation. We had a Native American congregation. We had an Iranian congregation. We had an Indo-Pakistani fellowship. We had two different Latino. We had a Mexican congregation. And we had an international Hispanic congregation with a pastor from Argentina. And I'm telling you what. And we transitioned into that, and now we're all together. We probably have 10 different cultures or more represented even here this morning. You see, I believe John 3:16. I believe with all my heart God loves the world. And I believe Jesus is the answer. I'm going to tell you, reflecting back or even up to today, everybody had their own service. And by the way, that's okay. with their own language speaking pastor, that's okay. Then we had quarterly services together. And Tim, you were actually a part of that way back in the day. And I'm telling you, we had so much fun and there was so much love and there was so much unity and there was so much peace and there was so much joy. As, come on now, Jews and Iranians, come on now. Huh? I mean, think about it. We used to talk about it. And how wonderful it was to have Jewish people and Iranian people that loved Jesus and loved, really loved each other. We were in here one time and there were four, we got 400 padded seats. We can get, and we had metal chairs out. The place was packed with all these cultures, and we were having a prayer meeting and every pastor got like his little 5 minute thing. Our Iranian pastor got up, stood right here. He's on a coat and a tie. We were all in coat and ties in those days. Glory, hallelujah, he set me free. Actually, I don't mind a coat and tie at all. But anyway, kind of like this too, you know. And the Iranian pastor got up here. And he opened his jacket and he said, look, no bombs. And it was real and it was genuine and nobody was offended and there was love and there was unity. And that set a foundation for this church, multicultural staffs, and there's a genuine, and I'm saying there's a genuine love and unity in your heart. You sense it. That's why God has called y'all here. And the reason is, let me take a step back. We need to do everything we can to solve racial issues in America. Can I get an amen on that? You got to be so careful, but I just got to. We need to do, let me say it again, because this is going to come back on me. As Christians, we need to do everything we can to model love and acceptance and honor and respect and care and concern. And there shouldn't be 1 ounce of racism in our bones. Now, give me an amen on that. And we need to do everything we can about it. But racism will never completely go away. Read your history books for thousands of years, not just in America, but pick any country, anywhere. Does it make it okay? It's not okay according to God's word. It's not okay according to God's word. But, and again, let's do everything we can. But I'll tell you what works every time. 100% of the time, I'm going to tell you what takes down racial barriers. Y'all want to know the solution? Jesus, 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 Jesus is the answer. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus restores, Jesus reconciles, Jesus is intolerant of hate, Jesus is intolerant of not loving others because they're different. The answer is Jesus. I've experienced it over and over and over. We experience it in this church. The world needs Jesus. And then Jews can love Iranians, and Iranians can love Tanzanians, and Tanzanians can love Zambians, and Zambians can love white boys like me. Yeah, it's Jesus. Queen says, I have a hard time understanding you, Pastor, with your southern accent. I said, Queen, what did you say? My African daughter, and I mean that with all my heart, she calls me Pastor Daddy. You want to see the looks we get? She said, he's my dad. I went, proud papa. I take Boris, we go out to eat, and I said, I want you to meet my son. I mean, I'm white as a lily, and he's black as that wall there. Y'all to see the looks we get. Jesus loves children. Jesus loves teenagers. Jesus loves young adults. Jesus loves old senior citizens. I'm a young senior citizen. He loves us too. I've been getting a senior discount. I'm even getting in the habit of taking a senior discount. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I mean, getting a little older has a few perks. I mean, I'm getting all my adult children off daddy's butter. Glory to God. I bought so much butter for those kids. Oh, by the way, Christian and Bella, Wade Bella, are engaged. A Navajo man got a hold of a spicy Latina. I may never get to my message. And we've shortened our services. You want to have an altar call and let the kids have church? He loved us before the foundation of the world. Assembly of God people, Methodists, Baptists, Lutherans, Muslims. He loves Muslims, y'all. Pakistanis. He absolutely loves the most best, well-behaved Christian. Holler over at your neighbor so you don't behave that well now. Come on. I see some of the wives looking at their men. I didn't say give you guys the eye. I didn't stir that up. Well, maybe I did. He loves the worst sinner. The worst person you've ever known, Jesus loves him. Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the worst of the worst. He died for murderers, rapists, prostitutes, drug addicts, drug dealers. Jesus loves the whole world. He died for the ungodly. God so loved the world, he sent his son. And if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you can spend eternity in heaven. And maybe for the little while we're on this earth, we can break down some walls. And we can be a part of loosing some chains and be a part of loosing some injustice as we've got Jesus in us. Hey, can't anybody take Jesus away from you, can they? Could anybody talk you out of loving Jesus? Could they pay you out of loving Jesus? There's a story of preachers talking to some children, kind of teach them that lesson about love and laughter. And he said, you know, money can't buy laughter. Money can't buy love. And they're listening and they're, you can see him pondering what he's saying. And he said, he asked the kids in the room, there's about 7-8 kids in the room, said, if I gave you $1,000, would you quit loving your father and mother? Well, I tell you, the kids' ears did perk up. I mean, $1,000. Would any of you quit loving your mother and father for $1,000? Don't raise your hand. One little girl raised her hand and said, how much would you give me not to love my sister? There's nothing that can take away God's love for us or our love for him. Somebody said a sinner may go to hell unsaved, but a sinner cannot go to hell unloved. It stretches the widest span. He gave us the greatest gift. It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The word is mono in the Greek, mono for one, only one. Monogenes, G-E-N-E-S. And it means, it's a word we get for genetics. And I'm just bouncing this one quick because I taught this, the whole message 2 weeks ago, is in the beginning, Jesus was with God the Father and God the Son, Jesus and God the Holy Spirit were in the beginning. God the Father is one with God the Son. They're made in the same genes. And we know that, and I taught it a couple of weeks ago, man cannot save himself. Man has a hard time making any significant changes within himself. They can be made. But man has never been able to save himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the same genetic makeup. God looked down at sinful mankind and said, I'll build a bridge to earth. I'll build a bridge to the people I love. I'll build a bridge to them, because you can't build a bridge. You can't be good enough or bad enough to ever make your way to heaven on your own. So God the Father, as you know, sent Jesus Christ. And I'm going to bounce through that one quick. He was there in the beginning. Number three, God's love suffered the greatest sacrifice. John 3, 14 and 15. I skipped a couple scriptures on you, Stephen. You'll have to bounce a couple. Referring back to some scripture in Numbers said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So we read that in John, right before John 3:16. So the picture, and let me give you a little background. Moses was leading the people to the promised land, and snakes came in the camp. And God, it said, you can go look it up in Numbers 21. It said God sent the snakes. The people weren't living right, even though God had done some great things for them. They were living in rebellion. And so God sent the snakes, and the snakes began to bite the people and kill the people. And so the instructions from God, it seems a little strange, said, you know, make a bronze snake, put it on a pole. And if the people look at the pole, the snake on the pole, I'll deliver them. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. We deserve to be beaten for our sin. Jesus, Almighty God, said, I'm going to send the Son to be like an evil, deadly snake. And that if you'll believe in him, you'll have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's for you this morning. That's for us this morning, that a snake was lifted up for our sins. Jesus became the snake. Jesus became sin for us. Jesus became the pain many of us may be experiencing this morning. Jesus became the wounds that we've experienced. Jesus became the bondage that maybe some have experienced or are experiencing this morning. Many of you, all of us actually, have been bitten by the snake of sin, because all have sinned. There's many of you, maybe some of you this morning, that's been bitten by sin. I taught you last week, God loves the sinner, hates the sin. The reason God hates sin is because he really loves people, all people, like I said this morning. But I'm telling you, if you've been bitten, there's no sin too dark enough, no sin too strong enough. There's not any snake that's ever bitten you that if you'll look to the Son, Jesus Christ, and you'll look to what he did at Calvary, he can heal you, forgive you, save you, and set you free. He's a Savior if you'll believe in your heart. Because we've all sinned and everybody needs a Savior. See, I believe Jesus is the answer for some of these issues we face today. But Jesus is the answer for all things. I said, people have told me that's a radical thought. It's not that radical. I've walked with him now 35, 40 years by his word, by his grace, in his patience, in his mercy. I haven't been perfect. I've been far from perfect. But Jesus has been faithful to me. Jesus will be faithful to you. And if you make application out of the word of God and the guidelines he gives us, he works every time. Jesus is always the answer if you'll let him be that. You see, he made the greatest sacrifice. What a Jesus we serve. He went to the cross and died. paid the price for our sins. I don't know if y'all remember this. Some of you do. Well, I do. Remember, I'm a young senior citizen. I almost said something, but I didn't. I'd have really got in trouble if I'd have said something then. About one of our older, more refined senior citizens. That's another thing about our church. We're multi-generational. And we get along. It's pretty cool, isn't it? It's because of Jesus. It's because of Him. Northwest Airlines, flight number 225, on a Sunday in August of 1987, took off from Detroit. Right after takeoff, it crashed. The entire plane crashed. 155 people were killed in that plane crash. Right after takeoff, they thought everybody had died. They thought nobody had survived. But they found this little four-year-old girl away from the crash site. Her name was Cecilia. She was from Tempe, Arizona, by the way. Four-year-old girl. And they thought maybe she had just been lost. But when they checked the flight register, they found out that Cecilia was on the plane and that she was the one that had survived. What they found out through a four-year-old girl is as the plane was crashing, her mother, who was sitting beside her, unbuckled her seatbelt, walked around to her daughter, who was buckled up, got on her knees, and wrapped her arms around her and held on. It saved Cecilia's life. Her mother knelt down, wrapped her arms around her, and would not let go. It's hard to comprehend. God the Father sent His Son Jesus in perfect harmony with the Father at the right hand of the throne. Unbuckled from heaven for us, knelt down to earth and wrapped His arms around the world. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Almighty God knelt down and wrapped His arms around us. Even while we were yet sinners, He died for us. And I tell you, He won't let go. I ran from Jesus. I ran here. I ran there. I ran to sin. I ran to Florida. I ran back to Kentucky. I ran back to Florida. I ran to alcohol. I ran to drugs. I ran to recreation. And I think recreation is a good thing, so don't misunderstand me. I ran to hobbies, made them my gods. I ran to making a business successful. I ran as hard as I could from Jesus Christ, but He wouldn't let go. He come from heaven. He loves the world. He loves you this morning. Somebody say, hallelujah. Some of you have been defaulting to this and defaulting to that and running a little here and a running little there. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a testimony. I've experienced Jesus myself. He's not going to let go of you. You can run, but not hide. from the love of Jesus Christ. He loves you more than you could ever ask or imagine. You can run to relationships or this or that. Jesus will not let go. Come on. That's what we do. We stay standing with Jesus Christ in us. We watch what we say, but what we say is in truth and love. And Jesus will use the church as healers in this hour. What's my message, Pastor? Don't get caught up in the politics. I have political views. You have political views. It's okay. Last week I thought we need to get involved. We need to vote and all that. But here's what I want. What I'm saying. And if you need to go back and listen, I think we all need to vote. A sovereign God gave Americans a sovereign choice to put people in office they want. I'm done with that. You have political views. I have political views. They may be different. We can respect and love each other and care about each other either way. Somebody say amen on that. But here's what I'm going to say with all that said. Don't get caught up aligning yourself with a political group that really, truly does not share your core values. Just because they're saying some things that are right. God loves black people. God loves Jesus loves red people. Jesus loves brown people. Jesus loves yellow people. Jesus loves white boys. Jesus loves us all. And I said it last week, some of our minorities have been mistreated. So don't throw that one on me, but I'm not going to line up with a political party or movement. I don't care what they say about black, yellow, red, white. Della always reminds me, don't forget brown, Pastor. She said that for 10 years. I'm not lining up with any of them if they don't believe Jesus saves. If they're not lined up with the Word of God and their behaviors don't line up with Christian behaviors. Now, why do you say that? Because none of it will ultimately work anyway. But Jesus is the answer, and Jesus works every time. So what's our message? It's the gospel. It's love and modeling love and truly loving others. It's supporting others unconditionally. It's loving every human, even when their beliefs don't line up with yours. Just don't join their party. Whew. I mean, we live in a culture you can't say anything right anyway. All this crazy political correctness, I'm not even going there. I'm running out of time and I know you are all thankful for it. So why don't we just live the truth and share the truth and don't get distracted? Billy Graham was a master. He crossed political lines, racial lines, socioeconomic lines. He didn't always believe just who the people he was praying with, even the presidents he prayed with. They all loved him and accepted him. You know why? Billy stayed anchored in this. He never compromised the Word of God. He never compromised the truth of God's Word. And he loved people, irregardless. Hallelujah. I can be confident that Jesus is the answer. See, his love calls for the greatest confidence. I mean, he didn't just die. He carried our sins to the tomb. And on the third day, he rose. And because he rose, we can live forever in eternity. And we can have a decent life here. Whosoever. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. Look to your neighbor and say, good morning, whosoever. That's all of us. That's all of everybody we know. whosoever would believe. Really believe in your heart. It could be a simple prayer as long as you say it from your heart. As long as there's a real commitment to Him, He'll come in and be Lord and Savior of your life. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what the Bible says, and I believe it. And when He cleanses you, He can take away anger and discord. And see, I believe Jesus is the answer. I believe the gospel is the answer. Maybe even just the miniature gospel is enough. John 3:16. I mean, John 3:16. If you really believe, there was a missionary in a mission field who was writing the New Testament in the native language. And he got to the natives that he was ministering to, and I forget which country it was. In the New Testament, the word believe is found a little over 200 times. Somewhere around 200 times, a little bit over 200 times. In those folks' language, there was no word for believe. So, I mean, here he is. I mean, how do you write the New Testament without the word believe, right? I mean, he was in a dilemma. And one of his native friends, who had been working in the hot sun all day, come to visit him. He said, hey, man, sit down, have a chair. Gave him a cold drink of water. And the native, in his language, said this, which I'll say in English: how wonderful it is when you're tired and you can lean your whole weight on something. When his native brother said that to him, it went off like a light bulb. He said, that's it, Lord. That's my word for believe. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever would lean their whole weight on Him will have everlasting life and victory. You know, some of y'all carried heavy burdens in here this morning. Give the weight of them to Him. Give the weight of sin to Him. Give the weight of anxiety to Him. Give the weight of worry to Him. Give it to Him. Lean into Jesus. That's how you believe. Trust Him. I said trust Him. Give Him everything. You said, oh, people, and I've said this, I'll say it. You just use Jesus as a crutch. And my answer to them, not like I'm going to get, you better believe He is. You better believe He is. His grace is sufficient, and I need His grace every day. We need His grace. I trust Him every day when I don't trust myself, when I don't know what to do, when I misbehave, when I'm struggling, when I'm under the weight of this world. And sometimes even the good things weigh us down, don't they? Lean in. Lean in. Put all your weight on Him. If you need one crutch, take two. He'll be two crutches. If you can't walk, He'll carry you. How about that? Believe. Lean into Him. It's for believers. You see it? Because it speaks of the greatest rescue. Jesus has made the greatest rescue. Every one of y'all, if you know Christ as Savior, He rescued you. Can I get an amen to that? Look. Without Jesus, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Without Christ, men and women will spend eternity in hell. It's all in the Bible. You could go find somebody that'll say, well, there's no heaven, no hell, it's all heaven. Not according to God's word. Well, I don't believe God's word is the whole truth. Then do you have the whole truth, I guess, then? We went through that last week. But let's don't stay there. The scripture says the wages of sin is death. And it's talking about eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Read this with me and we'll almost be done. John 3, 17 and 18, even in this scripture. And then we'll run the third verse 36 real quick, Stephen. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Hallelujah. But to save the world through him, the world he loves. Stay in context with me. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whew. Hallelujah. That describes the greatest rescue. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in it said, who has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then verse 36, if you could get there quickly. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath will remain on them. The Bible talks about the greatest danger. Eternity without God in hell. But it doesn't have to be that way for anybody. Because he loves the whole world. So it also talks about the greatest deliverance. And he gave us the joys. The Lord didn't make robots out of us. Some will be saved, some won't. He gave us a choice. And everybody that chooses to believe in Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior will not only experience victory after victory on this earth, but will spend eternal life in heaven. And I tell you now, even as a younger senior citizen, you can begin to see heaven's doors. And the ones that are a little older and I can say amen to that. It's not that far. If you live a full life, and I love life, and I live life to the fullest, and my life has trials just like yours, and trials and triumphs, but I'm telling you, the key to life here, and the key to eternal life, and the key to all this chaos is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, the power. Because the grace has power. It's not just words on a page or words in a preacher's mouth. When the grace of God touches your heart and your mind and your life, it's transformative. And I'm telling you what, it's always good because he's always good. He's for you and not against you. Glory to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And it said he's prepared a place for us. King James calls it a mansion. NIV calls it dwelling places. I call it a cabin in the woods with a bass pond in the back. But for the first 1,000 years, we'll just probably sit at his feet and say, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you're real. Jesus, it's true. Jesus, it was worth it all down there. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, and after 1,000 years, trophy. Years ago, and I don't remember if any of y'all were with us, we were asked by a high school out of town, it's a private high school, to go minister. They knew we were a Christian group. They want us to come and minister. They had an international high school. Folks that didn't have schools, high schools in the countries. A prep school. And we were invited in to speak at their assembly. And knew we were Christian. Made no bones about it. And it was just designed for about 20, 25 minutes. To minister to, I guess there's about 100 kids in that high school. room about this size packed. And we did this skit called Ugly Louise. Some of y'all might remember that skit. And it basically, it's a skit that's Christ-centered that deals with pain in people's hearts, especially teenagers, different things they're dealing with the answer and the hope, you know, to get through your struggles. Really powerful. We see over the years, even before we got to Arizona, we saw a lot of kids come to Christ, a lot of kids get whole, a lot of kids receive inner healing in their hearts and minds as they responded to Christ. We were about two-thirds through the skit, and it was my turn to... we had finished the skit, and I was coming up with a 10-minute message, and the principal is in the back, and he starts walking to me, and he's holding his hand up, but it's not raising his hand to speak. He's holding his hand like that, and I didn't catch it at first. I didn't know what he was doing, but he just continued. He walked about halfway down the auditorium, and he said, "I need you to stop." I mean, it shocked me. He said, "No, I need you to stop." He said, "Wrap it up right now." That's his exact words. Well, I mean, you could have heard a pin drop in the room. He said, "Wrap it up now." I took a deep breath, paused about 2 seconds. And I looked at him and I looked at those students. And I said, "I'll be happy to wrap it up with this. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And kids, He loves you." Walked away. We met in his office. He was angry. He was upset. I never forget some of his words. He said, "This is real to these kids." He said, "This is real. Some of the things y'all were portraying, their pain, this is very real to them." I went, okay. On the outside, I went, yeah. On the inside, I went, yeah. I didn't do it on the outside. On the inside, I'm going, yeah. But on the outside, smooth as silk. He said, "It's very painful." He said, "You're digging up some pain." He said, and "I'm going to have to deal with it." I said, "Sir, I respect for you what you're saying." And I said, "You're 100% right. It is very real. And it is very painful. But we truly believe we have the solution for these kids' pain. And His name is Jesus." And he goes, "Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that." He didn't understand and he didn't believe. But I'm telling you this morning, I do. And I'm telling you this morning, we do. And I'm telling you, stay laser focused and prayed up. Jesus is the answer to everything we're experiencing in our nation right now. And Jesus is the answer to every hurt and heartache you may have this morning. As y'all know, I was mistreated. I shared it in my message last week. I was beaten I was a recipient of police brutality twice. I've been the white guy with the black guys that the black guys in that community wanted to beat me up, but my black friends stood up for me. I've taken black friends to white folks way back in the day and they wanted, "Nope, you're not touching my bros." I've been on both sides of it. Jesus is the answer. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's stand together. I'm going to say a prayer with you. We will get back to these altars eventually, but yes, join hands where you are if that's how you feel. I'm going to pray for you right where you're standing. For some of you here this morning, look, if you just try Jesus and he doesn't work out for you after a while, just move on down the road. But he will work out every time. I'm just trying to tell you from my heart, give Jesus a try as Savior. Begin a relationship, walk with him, okay? So the way we start this Sunday, and I'm going to pray before Pastor Jill comes and dismisses us, and then the kids will have children's church. Every head bowed, please. Lord, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you love the whole world. But Lord, my attempt has been weak at best to describe your love. But today, by your Spirit, all across the land, across our valley, across the country, right here in this room, I pray that your mighty hand would touch our hearts right where we are this morning in the name of Jesus, and that you would reveal yourself to us, every man, woman, and child, in a special way. With every head bowed, and you said, I would like to make a commitment to Jesus Christ this morning, slide your hand up and I'm going to say a prayer with you right where you're standing. You say, you know, I'm going to ask Christ to be Lord and Savior of my life this morning. Is there anybody out there? Hand high where I can see it just for a moment. Great. 1, 2, 3, 4. Follow me in this prayer, okay? And if you mean it from your heart, you'll be as saved as there's another hand right there. Hopefully, Jonathan, we can give them a little Following Jesus book that'll help them. Go ahead and get those. But church, let's help them. I give you my word, Jesus will never fail you. Those of you who've got your hand up, follow me in this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I've heard your voice this morning, and I know I need a Savior. I'm in need of a Savior. I've fallen short of your glory. I've made mistakes. I've sinned. Forgive me, please, Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Come into my entire being. And be Lord and Savior of my life. Amen. 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 Jonathan, I think the young lady here, give her. I want to give these folks another hand for their commitment. Wave your hands. We're with you. Look at there. All ages. Hallelujah. Now, let me say a blessing over you. This day of prayer is about our relationship with God growing. And then you have different targets all week at 6 o'clock. But let's pray, and then Pastor Jill will come. And we dismiss in order a little bit at a time to practice social distancing. Love you all so much, Lord. I thank you for the men, women, and children of God that's under this roof this morning, that's across the valley and across our country. And Lord, you've blessed us. You've graced us with your presence. May our relationship, may we grow closer with you daily. May we get to know you. Oh, Lord, we're saved. You saved us. But oh, how sweet it is to walk with Jesus, to walk with you. And Lord, today as we leave, empower us, Holy Spirit, to be salt, to be love, to be light, to be the city on a hill, to live in a higher standard, not looking down our nose, but meeting people, all people, where they are, loving them like they are. Let us be those people. Flow through us, Jesus. Flow through us, Holy Spirit. We may not change a nation, but Lord, we could be influencers at work or at school or at home or in our family circles. Lord, guard our hearts from anger. Guard our hearts. Lord, we could be right about things and do it the wrong way. We don't want to do it the wrong way. We want to walk your way. We want to speak your way. We want to live in your love and speak your truth. Empower us, Holy Spirit, to do that in the name of Jesus. And all God's wonderful people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love you all. We'll see you in a little bit.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to share in the comments how God is speaking to you through His Word. If you would like to join our online church community, be sure to subscribe and click the bell icon on our YouTube page so you're notified when we post a new weekly sermon. You can also learn more about The Rock Church by visiting our website, rockag.com. If you are in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area, make sure to come visit us for Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. We would love to meet you in person. And if you would like to support this ministry today, you can donate by visiting our website and clicking the Giving tab at the top of the page, or by texting the amount you would like to give to the number 84321, then follow the instructions in the text reply. Thanks again for joining us. We look forward to hearing from you.